Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Advent hymn we just sang speaks of God's promise to send a deliverer, and it speaks of the one who was sent to prepare the way for the Lord, whom we know as John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a rough, burly man, apparently. He lived in the wilderness. He was dressed in the clothing, the skin of wild animals. He had a belt of camel's hair. He ate locusts and wild honey. Certainly not someone you would invite to a fancy dinner party. But he was called by God to the wilderness. He was called by God to the way of desolation, the place of desolation. He was called by God to prepare a people ready for the Lord, a people ready to repent, a people who had repented and who would long for the coming of the Savior. John the Baptist did not have a fancy job with a fancy job title. He did not have a resume that was 5 pages long. He did not pull in a 20-figure salary a year. Not at all. Because that was not why he was sent by God. He was sent by God again in order to prepare the way for the Lord. As the third verse of the sermon hymn reads, "Behold the Lamb of God that bears the world's transgression." That's what John was sent to do. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sin, who for our peace and joy will full atonement win. As I said before the service, today is the Sunday of joy. The pink candle, the rose candle, highlights that fact. In the midst of the dark, dreary season of Advent, as the world prepares to slumber in the sleep of winter, a bright light shines. And John the Baptist, for us today, is that bright, shining light. And yet he does not shine his own light upon us. He shines the light of the one who is the very Lamb of God, the one who is the atonement for all of the world's sins, the one who takes our sins away, because that's the way God likes it. He doesn't want our sins to be on us. The Sunday of joy. What did John the Baptist have to be joyful about? He had been imprisoned. He was in a dank, dark dungeon. He was pale of skin because he had been out of the sun for so long. He was fed on scanty rations. Maybe if he had a cockroach or two in the food that was shoved to him through the gate, he thought, at last some protein. We don't know exactly what John experienced. None of us has ever been in such circumstances. The prisons then were not as humane as the ones today supposedly are. And in the midst of this darkness, this gloom of his confinement, John apparently had some doubts. Now there is disagreement among interpreters whether John had doubts about Jesus's purpose, about Jesus's identity, or it was John's disciples who had doubts. And yet the text makes plain that it is John himself. Did I throw my life away? Am I rotting away in Herod's prison for nothing? Was I mistaken? Perhaps I was insane. Perhaps I was deranged. I need to find out. So again, he sent his disciples to Jesus. Are you the one who is to come? And that is a messianic title. The one who is to come, the one whom we long for. O come, Emmanuel. O come, you long expected Jesus. Or shall we look for another one who is to come? Shall we look for another Savior? Shall we look for another deliverer? People try to do that, don't we? Here God has sent His soul redeemer, His soul deliverer, not S-O-U-L, but S-O-L-E, His only redeemer and deliverer into the world. And yet, how many times do we ourselves fail to believe that? How many times do we have doubts regarding Jesus? How many times do we look at the prison house of our circumstances and we wonder, is Jesus really the Savior? Or is I perhaps deluded? Look how Jesus answers the emissaries from John. He says, go, tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me, who is not caused to stumble by me. Jesus didn't give John a direct answer. And I'm sure when John got the message from his disciples, he understood. He knew what Jesus had said. He knew that Jesus was affirming that he, Jesus of Nazareth, was indeed the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Because what Jesus did in answering John was to quote from the book of Isaiah, to speak of the messianic signs, the signs of the imminent kingdom of God, to John, because in Isaiah it says, in the messianic age, the blind do receive their sight. And thus have you and I received sight to behold Christ Jesus in faith and to claim him as our Savior. The lame walk. Jesus made the lame to walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. Your ears have been opened by the Holy Spirit to hear the good news of Christ Jesus and Him crucified. The dead are raised up. We have several instances of Jesus raising the dead in the Gospels. Most prominently, perhaps, the raising of His friend Lazarus. But you too, and I, were once dead in our trespasses and sins, and by the gospel of grace and mercy, God has raised us up in our baptism to a newness of life in which we are called to walk daily. And the poor have good news preached to them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, Jesus says in the Beatitudes. You and I are to be those who are poor in spirit. You and I, properly hearing the Word of God, properly hearing the law of God, are to be those who recognize we cannot possibly save ourselves. But we need God to step in for us. We need Jesus to step in for us. We need a Savior. We need a Redeemer. Not one who merely came in the past, but one who comes to us in the present, who comes to you again in the gospel, who comes to you in the sacrament, the one who will come again to you to bring you out of this dark prison house of a world of sin and death and trouble and misunderstandings and all kinds of bad stuff. Jesus is the coming one. Don't look for another. Look to Jesus, because in Him you are blessed by God. It's the only place of blessing, in Jesus, here assembled around His Word and sacraments. As you go forth into the world, into your daily vocations, as those who serve God and those who are confident that in the midst of all trouble, the Lord is with you for His mercy's sake in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we'll now take a vote, since we confess the creed in the wrong place for this service. Does anyone want to confess it again? I thought not.